you might have had a loved one that passed on and you're dealing with their estate and what are the things that they have? Well, one of the great places people have built wealth in America is in their retirement accounts. And so you may have an opportunity to inherit account.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Directed IRA Podcast. My name is Mark Kohler. I'm here with my co-host, Matt Sorensen, helping the listeners around the country, around the world, with a retirement account in the United States, invested in what they know best. Well, sometimes the situation arises where you have a retirement account drop into your lap by a loved one who's passed away and made you the beneficiary. What to do next? That's a big topic.
Yeah, this is a big topic, and it's serious. You might have had a loved one that passed on, and you're dealing with their estate, and what are the things that they have? Well, one of the great places people have built wealth in America is in their retirement accounts. And so you may have an opportunity to inherit account. And so we want to talk about the options there, whether you're a spouse or a non-spouse beneficiary. Those are the IRS terms. There's either spouses and everyone else, non-spouse beneficiaries.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It used to be like kids or this or that. You're like a stepbrother or whatever. The rules have really gotten simpler.
Thank goodness. And yes, for those in Utah, we're just talking about the spouse, the one spouse. Okay. Wow. You only get one for the
taking a shot out there. We just lost a few listeners. Maybe gained a few.
I grew up in Utah, so I earned the right to give that joke. Okay. Well, let's break it down. Now, sometimes what's going to happen and what we think is the best outcome is for this account to continue on, because you get to continue that tax deferral if this is a traditional account that could be inherited, or you get to continue the tax-free growth if it's a Roth account here. Now, the rules, like I said, for spouse or non-spouses are different, so we want to talk about those two separately, and maybe we hit spouse first.
Yeah, and would it be fair to say in those two columns, a spouse beneficiary and everyone else, then under those columns you have an A and a B, a traditional account or a Roth.
Yeah.
And the age of the individual is going to affect those two subcolumns, but let's say A or B.
Yes.
So I'm great a spouse point. And I inherit my deceased spouse traditional account. What would normally happen?
The best thing to do if you're a spouse inheriting an account is just you do what's called a spousal rollover. And I like to do this for traditional or Roth, because what happens is, if you're the surviving spouse, their IRA, if it's traditional, just becomes a traditional IRA in your name. No inherited account, no 10-year rule. We're going to come to that for non-spouse beneficiaries. Doesn't matter your age. It just comes over and it's an IRA in your name. Okay. Same thing would happen if it was a Roth account that was inherited. You inherit and now you have a Roth IRA in your name. But if you already have a Roth account, that their assets can just get rolled into your existing Roth account. So that's unique to spouses, and that's called the spousal rollover. That's why, as a recommendation as estate planning lawyers, we like to say when you're setting up your account, list your spouse as the beneficiary first, then your trust if you have one that could have your kids, for example, or you could just have listed your kids if you don't. But we like listing the spouse first because you have that easy spousal rollover.
Now,
no probate, no trust needed. It just directly goes over to your surviving spouse.
Now, for those of you that are like, whoa, 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 beneficiary designations, we have a podcast right before this one where we talked about designating your beneficiary. So if you bumped into this podcast wondering, what do? I just inherited one. Please go back and listen to the sister podcast of what should you be doing with your own beneficiary designations to see what happened on the front end. Okay, so let's say you're a spouse, you inherit a traditional or a Roth, you can roll it into your personal account and continue going on. What happens if the spouse that died was already doing RMDs, required minimum distributions? Does the surviving spouse have to keep that up at that point?
Okay, now the easy answer on this one is if it's a Roth, it doesn't matter. The age of the deceased spouse doesn't matter whether they're an RMD or not, because Roths don't have RMDs. Okay. So that's going to come over to you as the surviving spouse. Don't worry about RMD. You're good. Now, if this was a traditional account and the beneficiary was the deceased spouse, I should say here, already an RMD, you can still inherit as a traditional account. And now it's following your age of when you'll have to start taking RMD, which is 73 right now. Now, you will have to take RMD in the year of their death. So if they passed away in, let's say, 2024 and they were in RMD, you'd have to do 2024 RMD. But let's say you're 5 years younger and you're only 68. Okay, you're not an RMD yet. Well, you'll inherit that traditional account and you don't have to worry about RMD now for another 5 years until you hit 73.
Okay. You get to hit reset and
yes.
not and stop the RMD madness. This is again for if you are a spouse inheriting a traditional account from a spouse. That's when this special RMD exemption allows you to hit reset and just drop the money into your account and wait until you're required to take distributions. All right. So now let's go over to the other column, yeah. which is everyone else but the spouse inheriting an IRA. And we have the traditional column and the Roth column. Can we do low-hanging fruit first? Can we do Roth? That's the easy one. That's what you want, is you want your family members to inherit a Roth. They are the creme de la creme of anything you could ever inherit. So let's say a child inherits your IRA or 401k, or a brother or sister, and it's a Roth account. Well, when they get that Roth, they're going to now open what's called an inherited Roth account. They cannot roll it into their own Roth. It's going to stand alone as its own Roth account, and they have 10 years to drain it. They can keep investing it. They can keep doing whatever they want with it, and they don't have to divide it by 10 and take required distributions. They don't have to, but after 9 years, 364 days, that account's got to go to zero. So what I love about it is they can start taking distributions at any age. It's a tax-free ATM.
Yeah.
You can keep investing it. You can keep building it. You can keep growing it. And by the 10th year, drain it, the end. So that's the easy column.
And some of you might have an inherited IRA. Sometimes it's called a beneficiary IRA that you inherited before 2020. The rules were different before 2020. There's a lot of inherited IRAs out there. In those scenarios, you could have done what's called a stretch IRA, where actually you're distributing that account over your life expectancy. And if you inherited an account at age 40, that could be over another 40-year window. And so this is going past 10 years. Yeah. So I'm just saying – for those of you that have an existing inherited IRA you've had for a few years or longer, you might be under a different set of rules. For everyone else, the rules we're talking about is what applies here. And the Roth is the simplest, it's the best, and also it's freaking tax-free. So, you're doing everything right. And
now, let me ask you a question. Okay, this is a trick question. You ready? Well, what happened if the deceased individual, let's say the parent, has a Roth IRA and they already started RMDs, and then I inherit that Roth IRA? Do I have to take RMDs?
Okay, there's no such thing as RMDs for Roth IRAs.
Oh, damn it, I tried to get you. Okay, so you would never have that situation.
Now, they could have been just taking distributions. They're not required distributions. They could have been living off of that Roth IRA and taking money out of it, but that's different than what are called RMDs, which are the required minimum distributions that apply to traditional IRAs.
Okay, so mom and dad are now 73.
Yeah.
Or let's say dad's dying. He's 74 years old. He already started RMDs, and now the kid's inheriting a traditional IRA. This is probably the most complex of all these situations. So a child inherits a traditional IRA, and the dad or mom were already taking RMDs. What happens then?
Okay. In the situation where RMD has already been happening, you will inherit the traditional IRA, assuming you were the beneficiary. And let's say there was two of you. It was like you and your sister were the beneficiaries, 50-50. Well, you'll get half of that account and you'll get an inherited IRA opened up, and your spouse gets their half of the account and they open up their IRA. Now, you will have a 10-year window of when you take RMD, which you have to continue taking it. Okay. So because RMD already started on that traditional account, because your parent was over age, was 73 or older, which is the RMD age right now, you have to continue taking RMD, but you get a 10-year window to keep investing the account and keep it open. At the end of 10 years, the whole thing will have to be fully drained, but you are taking a little bit every year over that 10-year window to start drawing the money out. And there's a formula the IRS has in a table on how you figure out how much you got to take depending on the account balance. So that's kind of the bummer. The nice thing is we at least get 10 years to keep rolling this thing out, not taking a huge tax hit in 1 year where you got in a traditional IRA and you got to distribute the whole thing in 1 year and you inherit a $300,000 account, split up 50-50, you got 150 of it. Well, I got 150K going on my tax return in 1 year. No, we can spread this out over 10 years, not just for the investment growth, but also for the tax hit. So there's some benefit to it.
Now, let's say they were not RMD. So dad died, he's 65 years old, dad dies, son and daughter inherit at 50-50. They're going to get this beneficiary traditional IRA,
right?
And they have 10 years to drain it. Do they have to divide it by 10? Do they?
Yeah. The nice thing is, let's say it was that same $300,000 account split into two inherited IRAs for brother, sister, each of you got 150K. And because the parent was not an RMD yet, 65, you don't have to worry about it until the end of 10 years. So that 10-year window where you can keep investing the account, you don't have to take everything every year. But at year 10, you have to distribute the whole thing.
Yep.
So you may want to look forward at a traditional account. It's like, maybe I start draining this thing in year 8, 9, and 10 and break it up so I don't get a huge tax hit that first year. But let's continue investing it and growing it and using that money rather than sending it to the IRS.
Yeah. Now, some cool notes. That son and daughter, they don't have to wait till they're 59 and a half, nothing. Their age doesn't matter. That son and daughter could be 22 years old. They're twins. They're 22 years old and they inherit this traditional IRA. They've got 10 years to drain it. They can divide it by 10. They can divide it by two and take one at five. They get to choose, but they can't roll it over and combine it with another traditional IRA. They have to drain it within 10 years. And this is where strategy becomes a huge part because they're going to pay taxes based on the bracket they're in. So we sometimes use the word chunking, where you're going to chunk at this money because you don't want to like take it all in the last year and be in the highest bracket. Let's spread it out. Let's be smart about it. And only if we could wish it into a Roth, but we can't convert it to Roth.
Yeah, you can't convert inherited accounts, unfortunately. So you're kind of stuck with the traditional, but like I said, this is a great opportunity to still continue investing it. Look at the end of the cycle here about chunking it over a few years. And that's one of the things that's unique for self-directing is 10 years is still a good time period to self-direct a retirement account, but you do need to be a little strategic about it because you want to make sure you're invested in something that will be liquid in 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't want to put it into something like a startup or sometimes even a private fund that may not be liquid at the end of 10 years, but maybe a rental property or something you can control the sell of or some private note lending or some other investments are a little more straightforward in terms of liquidity.
And this is a great note that Matt just opened up, a little rabbit hole, if you will, is that let's say Dad was fully invested at Merrill Lynch and he had $1 million traditional IRA or 401k that he built up working for Kodak over the years or who knows what, IBM. And so he's
Kodak even around?
No, they're not. But okay. It was on a podcast the other day. It was on my brain. But anyway, that's a whole other story. You may have heard of cameras that actually have film or record players that have vinyl. That's another conversation. Okay. So now these two kids inherit this $1 million traditional IRA or 401k, and they're going to say, I don't like just staying at the Merrill Lynch. Can I roll it to a self-directed account? Yes. Yeah. That's not moving it into another IRA of yours. It's just moving where the IRA is hosted, if you will. So now you want to say, okay, Merrill Lynch, thank you very much. Sell everything in the account. Take it back to USD. US dollars, there's no tax, there's no penalty. Then you move that money into an inherited IRA that can be self-directed. Your sister may go, screw that. I just want to keep doing ETFs, bonds, mutual funds, whatever. You may say, I want to self-direct it over the next 10 years. You can do that too.
Yeah.
So changing the account type is not violating the rules.
Yeah. Let me go over the last thing I want to hit on this topic. I don't know if you have any other comments on this.
Okay.
Last thing I want to talk about is just the mechanics of doing this. So if you have a spouse that passes away or a parent that passes away or other person that you may have been listed as the beneficiary on the account, I want to go through the process of how you claim this. Every company, whether this is Directed IRA, Fidelity, Charles Schwab, I'm just naming the three big ones, any of those companies, you have what's called a beneficiary claim form where you're going to say, hey, I believe I'm the beneficiary on this account and I want to go claim my interest in it. Now they can't authorize any information to you unless you actually are, okay? But you'll need to provide a copy of the death certificate to show that this person did pass away. And then what happens is they will then communicate back to you and say, okay, looks like you are a beneficiary. Do you want to open up an inherited IRA? Again, some companies call it a beneficiary IRA. It's the same dang thing. And let's say mom or dad passed away and like Mark said, the account was at Merrill Lynch, or it's at Fidelity. You could say, yes, I do, and I want it sent to an inherited IRA at Directed IRA. And so that's the process. It's a beneficiary claim form. There's typically a death certificate required, and then you then direct where you want that account set up, whether you're staying at the same institution where your parent was or you're moving to another company. whether it's directed IRA or another provider. So that's just the mechanics of how it works and the claim process. Plan on a couple weeks. People involved in this, and for deceased accounts, every company has their own little department on this. We have a small team here that handles M&Rs because, you know, when you get 20,000 accounts, people do pass away.
Yeah, and I'll just give you one other fun example here, and then
Example on inherited and beneficiary IRAs.
Let's say you've been telling Dad, you've been invested in freaking, you know, Berkshire Hathaway and Apple for 20 years. Holy crap.
Why that wouldn't have been bad over the last 20 years.
That's true.
Would have been, yeah. How about Kodak?
Kodak. So Dad's been stuck in the mutual fund world for whatever years, and you've been begging Dad to buy some Bitcoin. And you're like, Dad, you should have bought when it was $2,000. Well, whatever. And so you've been giving Dad a hard time. Dad's passed away. You loved him. He was a great mentor. And he left you this account. Now you're going, now I'm going to go buy some Bitcoin. And in 10 years, Bitcoin's going to be maybe somewhere good. You know, and that's what you believe. And we're not telling you to go buy anything here. We're just telling you invest in what you know. And you may say, oh, my gosh, I'm going to go buy cryptocurrency with this inherited IRA. You can do that. You go open up your inherited IRA at directed IRA, which could be an account where you open up an LLC and you can do DeFi wallets all day long. Or you may want to just open up an inherited crypto IRA, which we have at our office, and you can roll that money right in there and have a Gemini app right on your phone trading crypto within weeks. And now that retirement account is under your control to invest what you know best. And that's the exciting part. There's no penalty, no tax, and go for it. It's just incredible. So
that is a fun one. I like that. And I think, you know, of course, here on the Directed IRA podcast, we like clients to invest in what they want and they know, what they believe in, what they're passionate about, what they have a competitive advantage at. You can buy stocks, bonds, and mutual funds over here if you want. People do that. But you can also invest in real estate, in private companies, in crypto, in small business, in big business. Those are all assets that your IRA or 401k can own. And we know so many people are just frustrated with Wall Street, or they haven't had success in the stock market, or their mutual funds are like never seen perform despite the stock market going up. They're like, but the one I'm invested in never seems to in over 20 or 30 years. What the heck's going on? And so we get that frustration. That's where self-directing can come into play. And it's not just for your own accounts. It's for the accounts you inherit too, those inherited IRAs as well.
Now, my last suggestion, and this is really, really important. If you are the beneficiary of a retirement account or a life insurance policy, this is a great opportunity to get a comprehensive plan put together. Have someone walk you through what your options are. This is just a simple podcast hitting some simple general rules and guidelines with some ideas that might get your juices flowing. Our 12, 13 lawyers now doing consultations every day with clients around the country at affordable rates are there for our Main Street business owners, Main Street real estate investors. Book an hour, book an opportunity to get your own estate plan done and have a comprehensive consult. They will answer all the questions you have regarding everything we talked about today and more, because they're going to tailor to your situation. So sit back, this is a great chance to take a little bit of that money and invest $1,000 in your own future. What am I going to do moving forward with my own retirement accounts, my own real estate? How can I take this tax-free life insurance or this Roth IRA invested and buy real estate or invest in another startup down the street that I'm really excited about? That's what that comprehensive consult's about. The link's down below. Get to KQOS Lawyers, and it'll really open up a whole new world to you.
Yeah. And of course, if you need the self-directed account, we're here at Directed IRA, directedira.com. You can book a call. We'll go over the situation, help you in setting up the inherited IRA as well. And we're here for you. And of course, we want to make sure you guys got invited to the Self-Directed IRA Summit. This is a one-day event, the best way to quickly learn how to take control of your retirement using an IRA or 401k to invest in assets you know and love, like real estate, private companies, notes, not just the stock market.
And we hold this conference every year. You can come in person or attend from a virtual format and have a great time associating with others that are in the same community, the same tribe, and learn what's working and how to do it. It's coming up in the very near future. The link's down below. It'll be in Dallas. And again, we would welcome you in person. We got a rock band on the last night.
Got a rock band. Spoiler alert, Mark and I make it on stage. So we'll see how that goes. But get over to SDIRASummit.com. You can register there. We'll see you in Dallas.